and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm now Good Cruise Drunk by Master of Wine, Meg Brotman. I'm with a special guest today, Meg. I know, I'm stumbling. So welcome, Cassandra Charlie.
Hello, all the way over from Western Australia.
Western Australia. It's been a bit of a theme this season. We've done a lot of
it has, but Margaret I saw River. Insta the other day, someone said, oh, thank God you're doing more Margaret River wine. Oh, did you say that?
I didn't.
Okay,
well, here we are. We're delivering.
We're doing.
So, although we're not actually just looking at Margaret River wines. So,
It's all Western Australia. There you go.
Western Australia, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so, yes. Cassandra, this all started because she wrote a great article about sparkling wine from Western Australia, and I messaged you and I was like, I had no idea. It doesn't make sense. To me,
I agree.
Somewhere that does like Cabernet, what are you doing making bubbles? It makes no sense.
Someone said that to me today when I said I was going home to do this. Who went, yeah. What wines will you be drinking? I said, I don't know.
But you seemed really confident in them. And so we're like, let's see.
I am. And I guess the answer to that question or point is WA is a large state. You wouldn't necessarily be growing Cabernet where some of this fruit is coming from. We have Great Southern, which is a very cold region, and there is some Cabernet down there. Pemberton, where there's also grapefruit for sparkling. And parts of Margaret River, which are different parts to where you would normally pick fruit for more table-style wines. I mean, there are some great table-style wines from these regions as well, but specifically, I know you did Margaret River recently, so you've done a little bit of geography with Chardonnay. So down in the Carriedale sort of region, that's where a lot of sparkling fruit is from.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, I can't wait to get into them. But first we have to cover off. Meg, you got a fun fact?
I have. It's a bit nerdy.
It's fine. Go for it. The people love it.
So I was reading the OIV report.
Yeah.
So the OIV is the international body that looks at world wine production. And Italy's come in number one, producing country, then France, then Spain, which is kind of standard. But between them, Italy and France alone account for 36% of the world's wine production, a third.
Oh, my God.
And 60% of Europe's.
Wow.
And if you add in Spain, it must be almost half of the world's
must
wine
be.
Production.
That's it's just huge.
And if I'd you love look to at know the numbers, the flip side of the consumption. Sorry.
Yeah, true.
We are hitting stability, not because consumption's increasing, but because production's actually decreasing because of all the droughts and fires and blah, 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 blah. So there's been a number of reasons. You may hear Hector. He's all very excited because Zoe's here today.
We've got the blue healer.
Yeah.
And Hector going off.
I think everyone's just got home.
Yeah. I think I love you.
Well, I've sent my sausage dog out for 45 minutes. We'll see if we get through it before she returns. We'll all know.
And Kaz, I told you I gave you zero time to prepare, so you're going to have to just off the cuff. But what have you been drinking lately?
I drink a lot. Tasting versus drinking, whether they're different
drinking.
Or the same.
Is a good distinguishment. Go with drinking. What have you been actually enjoying?
Well, very much on topic. I did have a lovely bottle of champagne yesterday. I had some Veuve yesterday, which was delicious. And what else? Actually had friends over last night and had all sorts. We had some Napa Cabernet to finish.
Napa?
So it was sort of from one. I actually picked the bottle up when I was over there. I was there a few months ago for the Wine Writers Symposium, which was phenomenal for so many reasons. But like we all know, being in a place gives you such a different understanding of the wines. And I feel like it's quite hard in Australia to get an understanding of those Californian wine regions because we don't get much over here. And what we do get, like, it's expensive.
It really is.
It's expensive there, though.
It is. It is there as well.
Yeah. <We'll stop.
laughs> but those are sort of, from one experience.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's a good answer.
What about you? What have you been drinking?
Oh my God, I've never had this wine before.
Oh, sorry.
She's been doing a water sommelier's course.
No, I have been looking into it. It's interesting. What have I had recently? I had, do you know what I've had tasted for fun the other day? Pinotage.
For fun?
Yeah. I love opening it for people so that they can just like, I love seeing the reactions.
Where'd you get it from?
I don't know, actually. Okay. I can't remember.
Did they like it?
Of course not. No.
There are some good pinotages, much maligned pinotage.
Yes. But, hey, let's get into the sparkling we have. Do you want to just quickly give us a rundown of, like, Margaret or Western Australia? Is there anything that you think sets them apart, or if we were to taste them, do you think we could recognise that it's Western Australia?
It's probably not known enough to really be able to distinguish on a blind lineup that this is a West Australian sparkling wine and another one isn't. In fact, I was actually at the Howard Park's Global Sparkling late last year, and what was really interesting was the brackets and the different blind brackets and where some of, like, the W ones snuck in. I mean, there were all sorts. There was Frankie Quarter and lots of not just champagnes, including British sparkling as well, which is delicious. But I think we should also reference the point that we're looking at traditional method sparklings today. We're not looking we've got Statella, Idée Fixe, and Howard Park Jetté. And it's the Rosé Howard Park Jetté. Nice. So three very different expressions, different fruit and different regions as well. All of these have fruit from different regions. So I actually haven't tasted any of mine yet. I literally just screened online before we recorded.
I wanted to.
Yes, so did I. I aimed to. But I've literally just poured them and plonked them next to me. So we'll all be tasting in real time.
Take us away. Where do you want to start?
I've poured mine. So I've poured the Statella first, and then the Idée Fixe, and then the Jetté to finish, because that is a rosé. Statella is produced. The winemaker is Yuri Burns, and he is a powerhouse, and he has an obsession with sparkling wine. So from the age of, I think it was 16. He has had a single laser beam focus on producing great sparkling wine. This is pretty special. So this is the 2010 Grand Prestige Late Disgorged Blanc de Blanc. So 2010, it's had 12 years on lease.
That's
and it was disgorged at the end of last year. So they have a very limited amount. And I'm talking, so I'm going to take a sip in a minute. But when I was chatting with Yuri last year, it's a relatively recent project, the Late Disgorged Sparklings. They make a range of different sparklings at Statella, which is based in the Swan Valley, might I add. So you think Swan Valley, hot, you know, Chenin Blanc and all sorts of wines. So they do have different sparkling wines that Yuri makes. This is made from fruit in Pemberton.
Yeah, it's said on the label if anyone can buy it. Is it a Blanc de Blanc? Because it feels like a Blanc de Blanc.
Yeah, it's a Blanc de Blanc.
So is there much
palate back?
I'm gonna have a quick taste. You guys talk for a minute. I haven't had a sip yet.
Did you like it?
I freaking love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It's autolytic and it's got that kind of age mature character, but it's not overdone and it's still got this lovely zippiness to it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And those late disgorged stars, sometimes you lose, they can tip over.
Yeah.
And so that's all you see is that autolytic character. Whereas this, I think on the nose, it's lees.
Yeah.
But on the palate, it's way us. It's just Chardonnay freshness.
It's fresh.
Superb.
Yeah. And, you know, Pemberton as a region is known for that. You know, I think it's a small region, and especially in the scheme of all of Australia. But I think that they do very much push being known for Pinot and Pemberton. But I think we really don't give enough credit for the Chardonnay from there and what it can do with sparkling. I personally think Pemberton should be known for sparkling. Like,
I mean, it's a bit cold, but this is delicious. It's really great.
Well, no.
But that said, based on this,
yeah,
it's very impressive. I would never put it in WA.
Yeah.
No. It tastes like, what was that stuff you made out? Preserved lemon.
Oh, with the salty. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of pithiness. Salinity. Yeah.
Yeah, it does have some salinity. It's really good. So what's this one worth?
So this is, I mean, it's $125. So you think of what you'd drop for a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is
12 years on Lizzo.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I think it's so worth it. I mean, you know, I think it's incredibly great value for the wine that is in that bottle.
With these producers, I know that they're not well known for their sparkling wine, probably, and it is a hard, but that is a labor of love.
Yeah.
And it's beautifully done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're paying for all that time.
Yeah, time. Sorry, I didn't finish the story. When I was chatting with Yuri last year, he was saying with these late disgorged, he actually had hidden just a little bit of wine in the back of the winery from his father, so that it was just tucked away for long enough. And he did a 2009 last year, and then this is obviously 2010. Oh, wow. But, yeah, it's like I just had to hide it from my dad.
And are they – his wines, are they always 100% shardy?
No, so in terms of his sparkling, so they're in WA, it's also worth noting the places that actually have their own sparkling houses. So there are very few because, as we discussed, it's a labor intensive and expensive process. So Sotella has sparkling facilities in the Swan Valley. Howard Park have theirs in Margaret River. Idefix have theirs in Margaret River. And down in Great Southern as well, Castelli have sparkling facilities. So Sotella, they do a little bit of contracting for people that want to make a sparkling, but they make a few different styles of sparkling. So they make some with Chenin from Swan Valley. They do some with Pinot as well. It's not all just Blanc de Blanc.
That was going to be one of my thoughts driving home. I wonder if there'd be like a sparkling Chenin in there because I love sparkling Vouvray.
I've tried sparkling Chenin. It's so good. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've done it.
Oh, yeah, we did that. But, yeah. I mean, I did it in Margaret River too. I think Voyager have one. Yes. Yeah, Chenin. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ages. It gets that toasty,
nougat,
waxy.
Yeah.
But this is superb.
Yeah, and so I have to add in, there was one more sparkling house. John Fraser also produces sparkling for a lot of producers down here as well. Mm. His facilities.
So when you say sparkling houses, how are you defining that? They have facilities?
They have the facility to riddle, to bottle, to disgorge.
Are they doing it with, like, machinery?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know of anyone that does the entire thing by hand.
Only the champagne was for the photo opportunity. That's it, basically. No, it's not. I mean,
it's just such a huge investment. That kind of machinery, it's.
Yeah, but in terms of labor, you know, how many bottles fit into a VLM?
Yeah.
Or a gyro pallet?
800.
There you go. The gyro
That's your fun fact,
yeah.
I think it's 640 in a gyro pallet.
Oh, is it?
Ones. Of course, it's smaller.
Yeah.
Great
superb. Start. That is delicious. I'm already part mind changed.
I'm on second sip.
You've topped up, Anya. So this is clearly a sip episode, not a tip episode.
Love that autolysis character. Me and then too. You've got that green apple and that preserved lemon, and so it's layers of it's
so
a
many
wine, Mel.
Oh my God, it's a journey. We're on a journey.
So we need to forget we've actually got someone else in the room. We need to remember.
That's all right. I'll just keep jumping in. I'm on my journey over here.
Just interrupt us.
Okay, so where are we going next?
I'm having my second sip.
Yeah, you do.
It's so delicious. So delicious. So I thought we could jump to Margaret River this time. Mm-hmm. So we're going to the Idefix, and I have to keep telling myself it's not Fixe, it's Fix.
I was going to say, I would say Fixe, but... Clearly not. They don't have the accent over there.
Yeah. No, it's very tempting though. But it's Idefix.
Idefix.
Idefix. Yes. my pronunciation.
Signifying.
Yes, which actually means a fixed idea. Fixed or an idea. Obsession.
But yeah. Isn't it idée fixée?
Clearly not.
I don't know. I saw something else in French.
I feel like they would have listened to that, before they put on the label.
Yeah. So this Either is actually way. From Margaret River.
So this is from Margaret River. And this is, so Vass Felix is a familiar name to many people in Margaret River, oldest founding vineyard, commercial winery, etc. But, and they've always had an interest in sparkling wine, but it was really in the 2010s that things started getting a little bit more serious, where they discovered a mysterious block of Chardonnay in the Carriedale vineyards. So I don't know if you remember from the Margaret River.
Southern
end, yeah. So down, you've got the influence of the Southern Ocean and the Indian Ocean. It's very different soil, different climate, a little bit of humidity as well. So they discovered that it wasn't all going to clones. It wasn't all gin clone. There was some champagne clones down there.
And if anyone is wondering about clones, go back and listen to our Margaret River episode from two episodes ago, because we go into this.
Yes. So, and I will note, like, gin isn't an ideal clone to make sparkling wine with, as far as I understand, which is why there's not a lot of sparkling wine made from gin clone throughout Margaret River, which is why you probably haven't heard of a lot of sparkling wine being made in Margaret River.
Yeah.
So in 2020, they actually built a dedicated sparkling wine house to produce sparkling wine. And it's serious business. I went in there last year and went through the wines and the facilities with Mick, who's the winemaker for Jenny is the winemaker for Vass Felix, and Mick. They're completely different brands and businesses. Idée fixée. So went through, and it's phenomenal. Like it's yeah. very serious sparkling winemaking facility. So they are putting a lot of money and time and effort into making sparkling wine here from that southern vineyard. Obviously, it's not had as long to develop previous vintages and the base wine as like Yuri has in Sotelo, because they've been doing that since 2011. Mm-hmm. But yeah, have a taste and I'll stop talking and let me know what you think.
So this is a Chardonnay again, I see.
Again, yep. Yeah.
The thing I notice most, the bead on this is much finer than the previous one. And you know how we always associate fine bead
yeah.
with better quality?
Yeah.
They've done the study, which I can't remember the science of it, but the proteins released by the yeast provide bigger nucleation sites for bubbles. So you often, for late disgorged wine, yeah. more yeast contact, get a bigger bubble. And I noticed on that wine how big the bubble was. I'll try and find the study.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
I have put it in one of my fun facts files.
Yeah. Oh, look, well, you've done it. I've just done it now. Yeah. Doing it.
Go crazy.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if it's the glassware, but it's retaining this beautiful mousse up on the top.
Like, these are the new Riedel champagne glasses.
It's a wonderful glass. I don't know if it's the glass or the wine, but it's actually keeping that layer.
The crown.
The crown, is that what it's called? It's beautiful.
I poured mine a little bit earlier in my screaming pace to get here. But it is. It's got a really beautiful, tight effervescence.
So in terms of dosage, do you know anything about dosage on these wines?
I know there is dosage. They all have dosage. None of these is zero.
Yep.
This has had, 24 plus months time on lees. So it varies depending on the year.
It's, yeah. It's quite that acid. It's a lot of acid. I'm still having my mind blown by this firm acid from Margaret River, like in sparkling. But the lemon is it's a fresh lemon though. It's like a juice apple. Yeah.
It's very fresh. It's very it's got a very strong drive. I think the acid is very prevalent in terms of moving things along in an enjoyable way. The other thing, I mean, in terms of Vass Felix, and I know I just said that Vass Felix and Idée fixée different brands, but obviously you go to Best Felix, you have lunch, you will start with a glass of either Fix.
Yeah.
There's a really beautiful symbiosis between the food and wine offering at Best Felix. And I think not that you would ever, you wouldn't make wines to work around food, but I think, you know, the food obviously comes around the wines, but I think there's just a beautiful symbiosis. Like they really do seem to work together beautifully. And I think this sparkling is one that really would shine a little bit more with food, especially compared to Lake Disgorged. I think because it has such bright acid,
Yeah, it does, but it's like a little bit toasty as well, not overdone. That's really nice.
For me, this is a sort of aperitif style, a real Pierre Peters, Blanc de Blanc, searing acidity, green apple, lemon, freshness.
Pear, I get lots of pear on this.
Yeah, touch of leaves, but it's not a huge part. It's really, really refreshing. I just think oysters.
Yes, that's pretty much what I was leaning towards, and I was like, it would just be so good with fruit.
I know.
Oysters and, it's mouthwatering. It's really, it really is a mouthwatering wine.
And so how much is this one worth?
This is $55 a bottle.
$55.
And actually, I think that's it's also worth noting. I think, I think it's great value when you look at the amount of winemaking that goes into this, the amount of work that goes into the vineyard as well. And also, I know that obviously people are listening and they can't see things, but the bottles.
The bottle is so absolutely cool.
The branding and the bottles are so luxurious. They are just beautiful. There's no other word than just.
Is that the bowling pin bottle? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it looks like a bowling pin, actually. It looks like a stumpy. But like pretty stumpy. But I'm just wondering about the logistics of making this. Like, if you're putting that in a gyro pallet, are you having to make custom made machinery so you can actually fit those bottles in?
I think there is a lot of custom. It's definitely not been the most, I would say, economic way to do things. There's a lot of effort that's gone in to make this the most. Most beautiful product and the longevity as well. Yeah, it's not a normal size bottle.
Nicola Foyette does one like this.
Yeah.
So, and they're from Champagne and they're a co-op. So I'm assuming they probably don't have them down here, but there is a machine that would take.
Yeah.
Because it is beautiful. But is the production tiny?
Off the top of my head, I don't know where they're currently at production wise. It's not big. You know, none of these are big. Like, you know, even if you've heard of the names, the winery names, then they're not big.
And is it non-vintage?
It is. It's NV, non-vintage. Oh, yeah, so this is, I think this is, look.
Premier Brut. I'm quite sure what that means.
Yeah, it's not, it's non-vintage, so it is rolling. You know, they disgorge.
That's beautiful.
$5,
support local.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great price.
Yeah.
And I can say we don't have it here, but the rosé is the most delicious, savoury, elegant rosé.
Would you get these wines?
Ooh, I mean, I know you can get them direct from the cellar door. And I know that they're currently, like, the Idéfix winery isn't currently open to the public. But there will be a cellar door, which is absolutely stunning. It's actually on the site that used to be Watershed in Margaret River. If anyone has been there and you remember what it was like, it will not be recognisable. It's going to be beautiful. So at some point you will be able to go there and taste and have sparkling experiences and buy your wine there. Mm-hmm. I don't know who their exact distributors are, but I know it's available over East. I know they definitely distribute over East.
Over East,
you know, that general over the other side of the Nullarbor
phrase.
I would have to find out exactly from their team where
people just look it up. And
they'll go into the show notes.
Of course, you can order direct. I mean,
it's the best way to support wineries.
It is order direct. Or come over to Western Australia and and visit them, and you know. Come and find more wines.
And they finally open their doors.
But yeah, you can definitely. And I know the Sotelo wine, that is a very limited release. I think there's a limit of two bottles or something Per
customer. Oh, wow.
You can get online.
Oh, how lucky are we.
Yeah. So delicious. All sorts of deliciousness.
I'm super impressed.
I'm impressed too.
Desperate to try the Harry Potter.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay,
let's
do it. So, yes. So, let me get to. So, yeah, this is a rosé, which I thought it would be nice to finish off with because, yeah, very different.
Rosé.
And this is a non-vintage as well. From the base of this wine, and it's from 2019, and I think when we say there's a base, when you're talking about sparkling, it's the vintage that most of the base wine is made from, because a non-vintage obviously is a mixture of different vintages.
Yeah.
This has had 33 months on lease.
Okay.
With a dosage of 32 grams per litre.
Oh, 32.
What was that?
32 dosage.
High?
Yeah. So, well, what does that make?
Sorry, 32. 3.2. What am I?
3.2.
I was going to say. Oh, 32. We're heading down in dew.
32.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So would it be Pinot Noir? Is there any Pinot Noir?
It is 100%.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Pinot Noir.
100%.
And this is from the Great Southern region. So we're going to another region again for fruit.
Mount Barker and Great Southern. Way?
Yeah. Yeah, both. Both the Mount Barker and another.
How much Pinot's planted down there? Question one. Question two, is any of it or what percentage is made into table wine versus sparkling base?
I'm also going to put my hands up and also say I'm not a representative from any of these wineries, so I don't have all of the knowledge built into my
That's
soul.
Fine.
But
homework, people.
Homework. So I don't have those exact figures, but I can say that they make some beautiful table wines from the Highwood Park. Specifically, make some beautiful table wines from their Mount Barker Vineyard, Mount Barrow. Do Pinot.
It's true. We just did Pinot from places that aren't Yarra and Mornington.
We didn't.
Yeah.
And they have another vineyard, Flint Rock, down there. Yes, I don't have the exact numbers. I could easily get them for you from the lovely people over at Harper.
Jeté is a ballet dancing thing to, like, leap, but it also means in French colloquially to throw out.
Throw out
when, like, jeté the thing, like just throw it out.
So what are you saying this in reference to?
Just saying, double meaning for the name if you speak colloquial French.
Oh, it's called jeté. Right. It's how Parker jeté.
Is it definitely throw out or could it be throwback? Like,
I would never throw this out.
No. So. I think it's probably like, because a jeté, I would imagine it is throwing your limbs out in a very elegant way in ballet as well. And I actually, so Howard Park is a family-owned winery.
Yeah.
They're quite a large brand name in terms of, I guess, Western Australian brand names and knowledge. And they also have Martin and Birch with a French winemaker, Mad Fish, Howard Park, and the sparkling wines under the Jeté label. I think it's important to remember they're still family run, family owned. They're
awesome.
Heavily involved. They've actually just bought a vineyard in Pemberton, which is great for sparkling wine production. And still, which is worth noting if you're continuing to follow the journey of Western Australian sparkling wine. This is 100% Pinot Noir. And a very different sparkling wine. Again, what do you think?
Delightful.
It's gorgeous.
It's like raspberry, but it's like biscuity.
It's still got that hot cross bunny thing.
Oh, yeah, you always call out hot cross bun.
Hot cross bun?
For me, evidence of Pinot in sparkling wine, traditional method, often looks like the smell of hot cross buns, and I get that.
Yeah, I get it.
In this wine, it's you're seeing it as a biscuity,
like the spiciness. But yeah, I'm seeing biscuit and spice separately. But I think when you combine those, I'm getting what you're.
That's a food wine, though. That needs that is mouth filling.
It's generous.
It's creamy, and it's got that length. But it needs something. What would you have with that?
Like charcuterie.
Oh, charcuterie is a very bland. What would you have?
What would I have? Let me just have one more sip.
How do charcuterie?
I know charcuterie. You did oysters before. That was the.
I actually think this would be really nice with a duck liver pate. With that acidity slicing in and that creamy.
Nice. It's on the charcuterie board.
Which, yeah, that can be on the charcuterie board.
True.
But also like a vintage cheese, like a really flavorsome vintage cheddar.
Good choice.
Thank you.
Do you remember that sommelier got into all that trouble that time that he paired parmesan?
Yeah, what was that?
Champagne?
Yeah.
And they said it wasn't a dish, but he won.
Yeah.
It was like it's all but vintage cheddar with that.
That'd be great.
So in terms of this is a non-vintage as well.
Yes.
So how long have they been making sparkling to sort of get their reserve wines? And because this is the thing with the process.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. It's an age thing, which is why when you do look at EDFX, it's the base wine can only start from the year that you start crafting the base wine for sparkling. So a sparkling wine doesn't start from the moment that you start making the actual sparkling wine. It starts from the year that you start making the base wine. So the longer you've been going, the more complexity and I guess the more pieces of the puzzle you have to play with, you know, the more you have to create with. Howard Park, I do have all my notes under that all. When did they start?
I better go again.
So I know they've been making and bottling on site since 2009. Sorry. Yuri from Sotella and Nick Bowen, who's the current winemaker at Howard Park, are really good mates. They've known each other for a long time. There are lots of sparkling wine links in there. And I think it's worth noting that all of the Western Australian producers that are seriously looking at sparkling wine are talking together and sort of banding together to really share knowledge. And I think there's going to be interesting movement in the next 5 years, seeing things rise, you know, seeing the Western Australian sparkling names come out.
Wow.
So is EDFX and Howe Park doing a vintage as well, or is it solely non-vintage at this stage?
At this stage, EDFX, it's definitely non-vintage at this stage. I would say down the track there will be all sorts of delightful other things to look out for. I know that for a fact. But it was really interesting when I visited going through several of the individual clones in bottle with their winemaker, Nick, to really taste the different characteristics of what those clones do in sparkling and the role they play. So I think they'll be interesting. In terms of Howard Park, they actually have a 100% Pinot Meunier coming out, which is very limited release because you can imagine there's not a huge amount of Pinot Meunier.
Sparkling,
yes.
Yeah, cool.
Yes, and that's coming from the Mount Barker. And that was actually interesting. I tasted that without dosage and with dosage last year at this sparkling tasting. It's interesting to see what that does as well to a wine. There's all sorts. If you jump on to Howard Park's website, you can see all sorts. And they do also have projects with Mupton and Birch as well. So having imports and different things with champagne.
So just on the clones, what were the differences in the wines that you tasted?
It was last year when I was writing my story. And sorry, I didn't mean to say champagne. I meant to say Bourgogne, Burgundy. I don't have my clothes in front of me exactly.
No, that's fine.
But it was very interesting. It was very, very interesting. And I think there will be very small batch sparkling wines coming out down the track as things.
Well, yeah.
Commercially, how do you make money out of that? I mean, can you just release them for crazy ass prices? Because you can't charge low prices for them.
That is for a representative of the company to answer. But I think with any wine brand, you know, it's hard to balance what makes money and what a passion projects and what are special interest wines versus wines that are easy for people to pick up off the shelf. You know, and obviously there are all sorts of other costs and effects that have happened in the last few years with China and difficulty getting products, you know, like getting bottles and pallets and things over COVID when we just couldn't get them, getting oak. There's so many things that I think consumers don't really take note of when they go and pick a bottle up off the shelf. And, you know, and I think if there was a little bit more education, it might make more people value the money they spend and why.
The other thing is doing that small batch and releasing it will build prestige.
Oh, totally. Yes. It's a branding exercise.
It's a branding exercise. Yeah. It's not necessarily about making money, but I mean, certainly that's Sitella.
And you'd hope that people out there are still doing it for the love of it at some point as well.
They do it for the love, but then they...
they got to make money.
Yeah. Then their marketing team or their finance team says, oi, what's this all about? But that's Sitella. I mean, that is just...
unreal.
Superb.
Yeah.
If you had that in a lineup of other wines from Australia, even wines from Champagne, vintage wines from other places around the world.
But let's not compare us to Champagne.
Not you're comparing. Right. But in terms of saying you wouldn't be able to premium. Pick where it's from.
Yes.
You know, you would not be able to pick that and say, oh, that's a, you know.
No, for sure.
It would just be a beautiful wine amongst other beautiful wines. With distinctive.
And sparkling wines, not necessarily about place. We've got an episode coming up where we're doing great sparkling wine that's not champagne to show people that you can drink superbly, you know, this Sitella.
And yeah.
This, all of these wines. All of them. I mean, $55. Ready fix.
Eat fit.
But trying to get unwed people from
absolutely the idea that
champagne is the only place
any Australian you give them $100 and say go buy a sparkling wine, they're all going to buy champagne. And the difference between low-end champagne and high-end quality Australian sparkling is huge.
I think that's a take-home message.
Oh, I think we've got our take-home message.
$125 you put that on the table and you look outside of the well-known champagne brands.
Absolutely. How much is the Howe Park, sorry?
That one, I want to say $40.
My God.
$46.
That's so good.
You know, and again, going back to the amount of work that goes into traditional method.
That's crazy.
Okay, well, we better wrap this up, but...
I can hear my sausage dog coming.
You can hear quick dog. Well, before we do, if people want to read your work or follow you, how can they do that?
Sure thing. So you can find me on these social medias. and my full name is Cassandra Charlick. So you can find me, my handle is @CassCharlick. You can also find my work in all sorts of publications. So I do write for Halliday magazine. I've got my first piece coming out in Decanter soon. Thank you.
Yes. Well done.
Thank you. Australian Traveller, International Traveller, Escape, Delicious, all sorts of great places to read fun things. And then I do have a website as well, which is earnyourvino.com. All sorts of places.
What's more fun to write about, wine or food?
Wine. But everything goes hand in hand.
It all goes together.
Wine, food, and travel. This is the thing. You can't separate it. It's they're all connected. You can't look at wine and just score a wine and be like, that's what that is. Because it's so much more than what's in the glass.
Oh, absolutely. Don't start us on scores.
No.
Thank you very much for taking the wine over. Thank you to the wineries.
They graciously helped out with sharing the knowledge and the word.
And I think, a hidden gem.
Yeah, seriously. You've been topping up your glass all night. You're set.
The neighbours aren't getting any leftover bottles tonight.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kat.
Pleasure. Thanks, ladies.
You at home, enjoy next glass of wine.
and drink wine.